living with my parents, I felt that it was necessary to do what they did in regards to their faith. And I felt that I needed some religion back in my life, that when I was going through hard points in my life, the thing that really did help me the most was my faith.
Welcome back to Come and See. We're Laurel Heights United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Wendy Holbrook, pastor in residence at Laurel Heights. And today, my guest is Ryan Campen. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Wendy. Great to be here.
Ryan, we're so pleased not only to have you on the podcast, but you've been such a vital member of our video crew in making the Come and See series happen. So many thanks from all of us.
Well, it's been my pleasure for sure to be a part of the team.
Well, and it's been a great joy to me to get to know you, and that's why I asked you to be my guest today, so that others might know a little bit more about you as well.
Sure. So I was born in Davenport, Iowa. My dad was a lifelong engineer at Caterpillar. He moved us to Peoria, Illinois in 1987, and I will say that yes, it does in fact play in Peoria. When I was younger, in my teens and 20s, and into my early 30s even, I did a lot of community theater. I played everything from, you know, Villager Number 2 in Fiddler on the Roof to Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof several years after that, and a lot of stuff in between, a lot of stage management, a lot of backstage scenes, a lot of onstage stuff, a couple shows that I directed. I just did a lot in the way of theater. Theater was my lifeblood. It almost could be considered my drug, actually.
And I can totally relate to that, as others can, I'm sure, if they've actually been involved in theater, that you just want more. You want more. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. What did theater do for you growing up?
Theater for me, it really just created a sense of community, a sense of belonging. Some of my lifelong friends I met through doing theater. A couple of the guys who stood up for me at my wedding, you know, they were my buds from theater. And I still talk to friends who I just made along the way in theater. It's so easy to just kind of pop back in with them whenever we get home, which has been a little while, not the pandemic and having a 2-year-old son and all of that, you know, just it takes time away.
So theater created this sense of community for you. And of course, we're here talking about Come and See with regard to church. Church mm-hmm. is also another area of community. Did you grow up in a congregation?
I was raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. My dad was Lutheran. My mom was Catholic, and we were raised in the church. I also went to Catholic grade school, which was, well, not the an interesting choice. That was an interesting time in my life, for sure. There was a lot of bullying going on. There was a lot of teasing and just I never felt welcome in that place. And so it really
doesn't matter what kind of school it is if you don't feel like you belong.
Right, right. My parents were doing the best they can, and I certainly don't blame that on them. It also affected my faith life at that point in time. Uh-huh. I really fell away from the church, you know, after I left St. Vincent's, because I had no reason. Once I got my driver's license and I was able to go to church on my own time, you know, mm-hmm. well, I may not have actually gone to church. I would say I was going to the 12 o'clock noon Sunday service, and I mm-hmm. may just drive around for 45 minutes to an hour because...
Because you could.
Because I could. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not to say that I didn't go, but I didn't go regularly. And it as I continued to grow older into my 20s, I started to fall away from faith. I started to really get to the point where I just wasn't, there was nothing in it for me at that point in time. It felt like an obligation more than anything else. And it really... I just didn't get anything out of it. So I would go for Easter, I'd go for Christmas, you know, when the times when my parents were paying attention, you know, to what it was I was doing. But other than that, you know, it was the other 50 weeks of the year, I didn't care.
Yeah. It wasn't personal for
right.
you.
It was not personal. It was painful in some regards, just because of the way that I had been treated. And, mm-hmm. you know, and probably part of that was on me. You know, I I'm a big nerd, and I won't deny that for a second. And I probably opened the door to a lot of teasing. But that is how it is.
That doesn't make it feel good.
No, it does not.
Yeah, that doesn't make it okay. Mm-mm. So I would say, as clergy and on behalf of the church, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had that experience.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I think that's something we all have to own, is the fact that though church is a beautiful community at its best, it is the worst of places when it's not a welcoming space. The Come and See team chose the 23rd Psalm for this particular season. It talks about God as shepherd and taking care of us and seeing us through. And it sounds like there was some transition in your life between that negative experience that said, I don't belong, I don't feel good here, to this is a space for me to grow and to make a difference. Tell me about that transition. What happened?
Sure. So in my early 30s, I was still living in Peoria, and I was going through a really rough time in my life. And I lost a job working for a law firm, and I found myself, you know, with my mornings free. And, you know, being raised in the Catholic Church, there was a church not too far from my house, so I could walk to this church every morning at, you know, 6:30 in the morning and go to church and then get on my day with job searches and interviews and all of that. And it was good, but at the same point in time, I fell out of it again. And I ended up in a job in media sales, which was not a great fit for me either. I was let go from that position. And
it ended.
It ended. The position ended. And so at that point in time, I was very, very lost. You know, at that point, I lost my job. The girl who I was dating didn't want to see me anymore.
Life was rough.
Life was rough, you know. And I called my parents, and they had retired down to Nashville, Tennessee, a couple of years earlier. And they told me, they basically said to me, just come on down to Nashville. You know, we'll figure it out. You can stay with us until you get back on your feet. You know, it's an opportunity, and it's an opportunity for you to have a change. And so I thought about it for a couple days, and I called them back, and I said, all right, I'm going to come before Christmas. Because it was, I lost my job on October 31st of 2013. And so within 6 weeks, I was down living in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, which is about 15 minutes outside of Nashville.
Right.
And so at that point in time, you know, because I was living back with my parents.
Yeah, and this was a big transition.
This was a big transition.
Because you'd been in Peoria since childhood.
Right.
You had a connection with the theater community. Mm-hmm. Now you make this big, big change to let's start over fresh and new.
Right. And one thing I should add to this is that a big reason that I had ended up losing my job was because I found more value in my time at theater. As I had indicated earlier, it was a drug to me, and I had been continuously going back for another hit and another hit and another hit, and not necessarily realizing what was ultimately important at that point in time, which was making a living for myself. You know, it was an escape. It was a continued escape.
Mm-hmm. So all the more reason you use the term theater was your drug. Mm-hmm. Because it filled that kind of experience for you.
And ultimately, in some ways, it was destructive, you know, because it did change things dramatically for me. And it did lead to me going down this path to going to Nashville and to starting over. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't really do much in regards to the job search through the holidays, and I started fresh after the first of the year. I needed a break. I needed a break from all of that. I needed time to just reset. Mm-hmm. And so January, I started working for a legal temp service because of my experience working in legal for 3 years. During that stretch, I also happened to meet the love of my life.
Well, isn't that convenient?
It really is. You all know Tanya Marie Eustace Campin, Reverend Dr. Tanya Marie Eustace Campin. We met through all of this, and, you know, she stuck by me through, you know, as I was continuing to figure out the early days of how this was going to go. I moved down there in December. We met the next September.
You made the transition to Nashville. Mm-hmm. You began to feel some roots, mm-hmm. some connectedness. Mm-hmm. Did you pray at all in this period?
So I did, actually. Living with my parents, I felt that it was necessary to do what they did in regards to their faith. And I felt that I needed some religion back in my life, that when I was going through hard points in my life, the thing that really did help me the most was my faith. And so I continued to, I started going back to church. And I think the moment that really everything changed for me was right before Easter. And so again, we would attend the Catholic Church. And I don't know if this is a thing in the Methodist Church. I don't believe it is, but and obviously not something that can happen in COVID, but where the entire congregation would come up and either touch or kiss the cross, which is laid down on the floor in such a way to allow multiple people to be able to do this. And I just remember, you know, just saying in my head and to God, you know, God, I'm going to give myself over to you right now. And I need your help. And I'm not trying to make this transactional. I'm realizing how much better my life is when you're in it. And so I fell to my knees and I kissed the cross. And at that point in time, things started to change. And there was a level of, well, shall we say, restoration, perhaps, in regards
good word.
To, well, thank you. there was a certain level of restoration in regards to everything in my life. Things started changing. You know, I was weeks after that I'd started working in a temporary role at Vanderbilt, which led to the permanent position. It was weeks after that I first started talking to Tanya. And then got through the summer, you know, continued to be as faithful as I possibly could in regards mm-hmm. to my religion. And
well, you used the term transactional mm-hmm. a bit ago. Were you still in that phase to some degree? I mean, faith is very much a developing mm-hmm. process for any of us. And so I'm just curious, was there still some of that, I'll do this, God, if you do that? Or were you growing past that?
I mean, I think that leading up to that point, from December to Easter, I really felt that it was starting to make that change. Yeah, it was not something that happened overnight. It's something that took a lot of time and consideration. But it happened, and things started changing, and things started changing for the better, and it was wonderful.
Well, we think in terms of this psalm, Psalm 23, mm-hmm. one of the most famous passages of the Bible, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And, you know, in our culture, we want everything. Mm-hmm. You know, back to that whole business of being an ad salesperson, mm-hmm. you know, we're fed it morning, noon, and night. You mm-hmm. must want this. You yes. must want that. Did what you want in life change or adjust any during this growth period?
Say more.
So, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What did you find yourself wanting after this transition of giving yourself over to God?
So what I was looking for at that point in time, you know, it's kind of funny. I had posted on Facebook, you know, what I was really after at that point was a girlfriend, an apartment, a dog, and a job.
There you go.
and that was really what
the good life.
The good life, yeah. And ultimately, you know, all of those things happened, you know. I don't know that I necessarily prayed for those things at mm-hmm. that point in time. Mm-hmm. I just prayed for some stability.
There you go.
And that was really what it was that I was looking for, was stability. I needed to move out of my parents' house. It was a huge step backwards for me. Mm-hmm. It was not attractive, you know, to be the
to be the guy in the parents'
guy,
basement,
you know, living in the parents' basement, exactly. And I'm like, I'm too old for this, but you know, but it served a purpose ultimately. And yeah, you know, I mean, there was still certainly, you know, there were certainly wants and desires and things that really...
That were important.
Yeah, things that were important.
That mattered.
That really mattered in my life, that I needed to feel fulfilled. And to say, like I said, I don't know that I asked for that specifically. I think it was more, as I indicated, more for the idea of stability in my life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
God provided. Mm-hmm. It took a while, but God certainly did provide in that regard.
And I think that's an interesting section there to think about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And what you describe is feeling a sense of a bit of chaos, if you will, mm-hmm. in trying to figure out life, which most all of us go through, that sense of, okay, what do I really want? What's really important to me? And then it came down to, I want a stable life. I want a stable relationship and job and meaningful work. And that's a beautiful story to know that as you leaned into God, God led you in those pastures, if you will. That's exciting. So what happens next? You make this initial commitment, God, I'm going to give myself over to you to let you lead me. And then, like you said, eventually you got your own place. You got this amazing girlfriend. What happens next?
Well, the idea of stability doesn't necessarily always last long. You know, we, Tanya and I, we got engaged, and not too long after that, we got engaged in September of 2015. Yeah. Yes. September 2015. And by February of 2016, Tanya comes home one night and asks, how do you feel about moving to San Antonio?
And you said, yay!
I said, I don't know that I have any thoughts at all about moving to Texas. Now, of course, I married a Texas girl. So she is, if you don't know, she's originally from Midland, Texas. And actually, just this past weekend for Luke and Tanya's birthdays, all of the grandparents were home for the first time, which was a wonderful, wonderful
experience.
Oh,
what a great reunion.
Yeah, it was great. So that was another level of upheaval, but at least there was still some stability in regards to, you know, family life and all of that, which eventually led to having a wonderful 2-year-old son, Luke.
Ryan, you've told me a really interesting life story. It has its ups and downs. Do you have regrets?
At the end of the day, absolutely not. All of the decisions that I've made in my life have led me to this point. It has led me to San Antonio, Texas. It has led me to having a beautiful bride, a wonderful son, a great house, and a good job. It may not be exactly what I want to be doing right now, but that'll come.
That'll come. Those are words of faith. How do you feel about that passage now? The Lord is my shepherd.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of truth to it. I think that when you really do give yourself entirely over to God, once you really, really, you know, say, okay, you know, we may not always agree on everything, God, and that's okay, ultimately, at the end of the day. may not agree on the path that you want me to go down, but ultimately, if I put my faith into you and I say, okay, I'm just handing myself over to you and we're going to see what happens out of this, you don't necessarily go down the wrong path. And it's hard sometimes, and it's arduous, you know. I mean, as you know, I am in the middle of a much longer than I anticipated job search in regards to moving into healthcare administration after getting my master's. There are days that it's frustrating, but one, a pandemic hit and you can't exactly, you know, control that. Right. And two, it's just when the right thing comes along, and it just hasn't come along yet.
Yeah. So in this current period of transition, mm-hmm. and transition is always a mm-hmm. difficult space to be in, how is God leading you?
God right now is leading me by continuing to try to be faithful, you know, to in Him, to just listen to what He has to say, because ultimately sometimes God talks and you may not hear it, you may not want to hear it, And sometimes it comes in the most quiet moment. Sometimes it comes from unlikely sources. And you just have to be ready for whatever it is he needs to tell you. And that's easier said than done some days, but we continue to try.
Yeah, there you go. That's what the life of faith is about, right? I mean, allowing God to lead us is a recommitment. You know, you had that moment there in that church on that Easter day, and it sounds like that continual giving yourself over to God is not a one and done, but a day in, day out experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Ryan.
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing your story.
You are very welcome. I'm glad to be a part of this.
All right. Well, friends, we thank you for joining us here on Come and See.